I'm going to call this banquet of the Fall 2005 convention to order. Let's hear it. Are you having a good time?
Please.
Okay, if you don't have a ticket, please don't be seated out here because we have apparently some people with tickets who may not have seats. So we want to make sure that all of you do indeed have banquet tickets. I hate to do that, but that's the way it is. So I need to make sure that everybody has tickets. Okay. Now, they're going to be serving your salads, but we're going to get started because we don't want to wait too much longer to get the banquet moving. Have some order. Order. Have a little order. Thank you. Thank you. I'm Jeff Tom. I'm the president of CCB. I'm glad to be here. Are you all glad to be here?
Yeah.
All right. All right. We're going to begin with the invocation. Thank you. We got some people. I'm going to get Perry Wolf up here, and he's going to get really vehement, really angry. Yeah, so we want order. All right. Reverend Clarence Archer, pastor of the New Name Baptist Church in Long Beach, is going to give us our invocation. Shh. Reverend
Thank
Archer.
You. Quiet. Thank you very much. Let us pray. Eternal God and Heavenly Father, creator of the universe, master of everything, we thank you for all the possibilities that you have made available to mankind. We recognize the cohesive gathering that have come together today to celebrate, reflect, dialogue in a mode of festivity. We embrace the inception, the planning, and the execution of this event. I now invoke your guidance and blessings. I further invoke your blessings on the meal that has been prepared. For this I give you thanks and praise. Amen.
Amen. Thank you very much, Reverend Archer. Okay. Now, I like banquets because I don't have to do too much, and I'm not sure that my voice would hold out I have to do a little, but fortunately you don't have to hear me too much. And but I do have to introduce the Mistress of Ceremonies. Now, the Mistress of Ceremonies is known to all of you out there, I'm sure, Artist Bazin. But I always try to find out something about my Mistress of Ceremonies that nobody knows. And I think it's one of the highlights of my time at these banquets is to do this. So I looked for a nugget of information, and no, I didn't find out about, you know, the fact that she dyed her hair in the old days, or nothing really astonishing like that. Well, she probably did, but I didn't find that out. But I did, you know, artists like me is well known for being a dyed-in-the-wool cane user. But there was a time, I don't even think Kevin knows this, but there was a time when, you know, not too many years after she'd become blind and she always wanted to be as independent as she could. She was living in Iowa and she thought, you know, I think I might want to look into this getting a guide dog. Because, you know, maybe I could move faster and be really a super blind woman if I could do this. So she looked into it but she didn't want to go away to one of these schools that she didn't want to go away for a month or whatever. So she saw an ad in the paper, someone was read her the paper. It was before computers, obviously, so she couldn't use the internet. So she saw this ad in the paper for a talking dog. She thought, wow, this is really what I want. You know, I bet this talking dog could be the thing for me. So she, you know, independent woman she was, she took the bus out to this She took the bus out to the owner's residence, and she knocked on the door and said, hi, this talking dog of yours, I'd like to see him. You know, I'm interested in purchasing him. And the guy goes, okay, you just go around back. And so she went around the back. She said, hi there. She said, you're a talking dog. He said, yes, indeed, ma'am, I am. And she said, wow, this is amazing. He said, I'd like to hear your story. How did you learn? He said, well, you know, when I was a young pup, why, I just sort of picked it up and I did a lot with it. Why, eventually, when I got a little older, the CIA wanted me. The CIA asked me if I'd go into covert spying, and so I did that for a while in Russia and China, and I'd hide in the various buildings and get information for the U.S. Then I came back, and I came back, and I was going to retire, but then the FBI wanted me, and so I was, you know, engaged in eavesdropping on drug busts and things like that. So finally, but I finally decided to retire and have puppies with my little partner, my mate, and that's really, you know, that's been my life. So she said, wow, this is the dog for me. So she went back to the owner, and she said, I really like this dog. How much are you asking for? See, he said, $25. She said, $25? That is really cheap. She says, why are you asking so little? Artist wasn't too smart in those days about trying to get the best deal she could. But so she asked the owner, why are you asking such a low price? And he said, well, the dog's a darn liar. All right, so here we have our mistress of ceremonies, Secretary Artis Bazin.
Okay, well, my first job of the evening is to introduce the head table. Can I have your attention, please? Can I have your attention? Okay, the head table is from left to right, facing the audience. We first have Michelle Burnett, the president of the Long Beach chapter.
Thank you.
Then we have the pastor, Clarence Archer. Then we have Marlena Quesada, the first lady of ACB. Then we have Coletta Davis, the CCB Scholarship Chairperson.
Thank you.
Then we have our surprise speaker of the evening, and I'm not going to tell you who that is. Sam Janensky was not able to be here. He was sick. So we have a surprise speaker, and that person's guests we're going to wait and introduce later. So you can mull it over. Next, we have Ken Metz, our CCB second vice president. Then we have Pam Metz, his better half. Then we have Kevin Berkery. Then myself, Artis Bazin. Then we have Cindy Burgett, the Washington Council of the Blind President. Next, we have Leslie Tom. Then we have our esteemed president, Jeff Tom. And finally, we have Day Almahana from Washington, D.C., our current advocacy and governmental affairs director from ACB. Well, since Jeff told a joke about me, you know, I have to reciprocate. Actually, I did promise him I wouldn't tell a lawyer joke, so. Actually, it's actually about Andy. When his daughter Andy was six, she one day came home from school, and she said to Jeff, Dad, what is sex? Well, of course, all fathers look forward to hearing their children wanting to know about that word. So he was thinking, oh, no, I didn't think it would come this early. But he said, okay, Andy, have a seat, and I'll tell you all about it. So he proceeds to go in this long story about the birds and the bees, and proceeds, and he says to her, he said, okay, do you have any questions? And Andy said, well, Dad, you didn't answer my question. I've got this form on it, and it has a blank beside sex.
What'd you say? I didn't hear.
Okay, well, now it's time for everyone to eat.
Wait a minute, wait a minute, we got a mic.
Oh, I got away.
Yes. Ooh. This comes on behalf of the Hawaii Association of Blind.
Wait a minute, we'll give you a mic. There's a mic right here.
Okay.
Mic right here. Here. You're right in front of it.
I'm the loudmouth from Hawaii.
Order.
I'm Betty Mason.
Hey, let's have some order.
And I have been waiting. I've been waiting to do this for the 3 days. I have just laid Jeff and his wife, Leslie, in front of everybody. And it's a gift from Warren Toyoma and the Hawaii Association of the Blind. So, aloha.
Aloha. Thank you. We'll get them back. Thank you.
Well, I'm sure we all want to welcome Betty Mason from Hawaii as well as Don Thompson from Hawaii.
They don't like to be a bad thing. They prefer to be. Me too. Me too. Yeah, you're just baseball. Chopped liver. I know. Exact title, Chief Counsel.
Oh, okay, Chief Counsel.
I like the dress.
Where are they?
Hello, can I have your attention? As long as we're introducing other people, we also have Ralph Black here, the Chief Counsel from the Community Colleges, and we also have Catherine Campisi, the Head of Rehab.
And Don Thompson. Oh, he did? Oh, I didn't hear it.
Hello, can I have your attention again? We have Marvelena Quesada here, Chris Gray's better half, and she wants to say a few words to you, words of welcome. So we'll let Marvelena go next.
Thank you, everybody. What a fabulous, fabulous convention. I want to thank CCB President Jeff Tom and give a special, special thank you to the Long Beach chapter. I can't remember when I've met a more hospitable bunch of people. Well, I've been asked to give you a special warm hello from Chris Gray and also from ACB Board of Directors. Chris, unfortunately, at this very moment, is sitting at a banquet in the Oregon Council of the Blind and could not be here. So he will be very, very sorry to have missed it, especially when he hears about the fabulous convention he missed and that there have been so many wonderful people who've traveled so far to come here, mainly from Washington and Hawaii, who've come here to attend this fantastic convention. Give yourselves another hand. CCB, as usual, has done some fantastic things. You all should be proud of yourselves and keep up the good work. You, as usual, are at the forefront of the ACB affiliates, and I hope that you will continue to do the outstanding things that ACB has come to expect of you. Thank you very much for allowing me to address you, and have a wonderful banquet. Good evening.
Okay, I wanted to tell you, we have two new chapters forming in CCB. One is the Randolph Shepherd Vendors of California, and they had their formation meeting today, and they will soon be ready to apply for a charter. And also we have the San Luis Obispo chapter is forming. So I'd like you to welcome all of those people. I'm going to ask Rhonda King to come forward to do the presentation of the membership award. While she's coming forward, I'm going to tell a little story about Cindy. I was chatting with her, and I found out several years ago she had gotten her divorce. And shortly thereafter, her oldest daughter asked her some questions. She said, "Mom, how much do you weigh?" And Cindy said, "Well, it's not appropriate to ask women how much they weigh." And then she says, "Well, Mom, how old are you?" And she said, "Well, it's not appropriate to ask women how old they are." And she says, "Well, Mom, why did you and Dad get a divorce?" And Cindy said, "Well, when you get older, you'll understand." Well, a few days later, she came up to her mom and she says, "Mom, Mom, I know the answer to all those questions. I found your ID card." And it says how much you weigh, and it says how old you are, and it has a F by sex.
You failed. You failed.
That's it.
Okay, Rhonda, do you have a mic?
Yes, I do.
Boy, they'll be paid back.
Anyway, we are very proud of all of our chapters, and they have made great strides in increasing membership. And I am really glad to say that we have a different chapter that's going to win the award this banquet. We are very proud of Inland Empire chapter, of course. I believe they won the award for greatest increase in membership. The last three awards have gone to the Inland Empire chapter, which now has 117 members. Now, the thing to think about, though, when it comes to that chapter now, for them to get the award again for greatest increase, they're going to have like 20 or 30, 40 new members. Anyway, we're really proud to say that our winner of the membership increase award, which is $100, and I will make sure that the check is in the mail soon. And from the April convention to the fall convention, with an increase and I think it was, 30. How much, Frank? 33%. And it goes to the Greater San Joaquin Valley chapter. Mary Beth is their president. Mary Beth Randall. Congratulations.
Thank you. Next, Jeff has... Is someone coming up from that chapter to say a word?
Mary Beth, you want to...
If you're here, please raise your hand, because Ed has a roving mic.
Yeah, we'll get her.
I'm so shocked. I was so shocked that I had to just sit there for a second and think about this. This is Mary Beth Randall, the president of the Greater San Joaquin Valley chapter. And thank you very much for giving us the award. And I hadn't realized that we had done well enough to deserve that award. Thank you a lot.
Thank you. Jeff has asked if he can present a resolution at this time. A resolution, but it's a fun one. I think you'll like it.
Gotta get the mic to me somehow. I'm gonna try to read here. Now, we have to formally adopt this tomorrow, but I think we'll probably all vote for this. And this is a little bit of a surprise, I hope. Whereas the Washington Council of the Blind was established in 1935, only 1 year after the establishment of the California Council of the Blind. And whereas for 70 years, the Washington Council of the Blind has been striving to improve the lives of the blind and visually impaired of Washington and the nation. And whereas the Washington Council of the Blind has in recent years been a shining example to other affiliates of the American Council of the Blind, through their leadership training, membership efforts, and other initiatives. And whereas the Washington Council of the Blind will be holding its 2005 convention in Pasco, Washington from October 27th through the 29th, now therefore be it resolved by the California Council of the Blind in convention assembled the 16th day of October 2005 in the city of Long Beach, California, that this organization congratulate and salute the Washington Council of the Blind and its fine work during the past 70 years. And be it further resolved that a copy of this resolution be prepared for presentation to the Washington Council of the Blind at its 2005 convention. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Cindy?
You guys
don't
are...
leak it out and we'll present it there too. Let's hear it for Washington Council of the Blind.
You all are incredible. When I was at the leadership training and I was listening to the history of California and the blindness movement, it was amazing to me of the similarities that our two states share. And Jeff, you never cease to amaze me. And you've shocked me to all end, yeah. But we're gonna be delighted to keep a secret. I'm not even going to tell my husband. And I do have one of those for the last 4 years. That was funny, artist. Anyway, thank you very much. It's been a pleasure to share with California, to work so closely with Jeff, and to be a partner. And I hope that Jeff and I can be an example to other state affiliates in ACB on how affiliates can work together for the better good of all, by sharing ideas and learning from one another and growing with each other. It's been a true pleasure for me and for the WCB. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Cindy.
Okay, now I'm going to ask Dave Hanlon to come forward. He's the newly elected president of the Randolph Shepherd Vendors of California, and he wants to make a presentation.
Yes.
Good evening.
Good evening.
Hello, everybody. San Diego. And I have a presentation to give someone who's very special that all of you love. And I am a delegate on the California Vendors Policy Committee. I've been in the program for 35 years, so it's been wonderful for me. And we do come across people that are supporters and put out great effort in helping our program. CCB is certainly our best friend and leader in this effort. Recently, we had two legislation that were, we felt, on the from CVPC that were somewhat threatening to our overall program. And thanks to an individual, the board at their last meeting voted unanimously to present a wall plaque for Dan Kaiser. I would like to have somebody read it.
Says 2005 California Vendors Policy Committee Executive Award presented to Dan Kaiser, CCB, in appreciation of your extraordinary vigilance, dedication, and actions to obtain support for the upholding the priority of the Business Enterprise Program in the state of California rest areas.
I actually can't think of what to say. I think the best thing I heard is that you're our best, that CCB is your best friend, and I'm really glad because I love BEP. You'll always be our best friend because it's a steady employment for a lot of blind people. And thanks again for the plaque, and I will continue to work hard whether I get a plaque or not. Thanks.
I was talking to Dave one day, Dave Hanlon, and he was telling me about the problems they have sometimes hiring new employees. And they had put an ad in the paper. He needed some secretarial work, and he put an ad asking for someone that was good at computers and knew at least two languages. Well, he had an applicant come in, but it was kind of a surprise applicant. It was a dog. Came in the door with a copy of the ad in his mouth. And he brought it up to Dave, and Dave kind of looked at the dog, and he thought, well, I can't hire a dog. You wouldn't know how to do anything. And he says, well, okay, we'll bring him in the back. And he says, well, I need you to type 50 words a minute. So the dog hops up on the chair and starts typing furiously, and Dave thought, oh, brother. So he says, well, can you use multiple office programs? I need you to go from program to program. You need to be able to use Excel so you can do some bookkeeping, et cetera. Well, the dog starts manipulating the programs, jumping back and forth between Excel and Word and really? Office, et cetera. And so Dave is kind of scratching his head, oh, brother, I don't want to hire a dog. He says, well, I know there's one thing you cannot do. He says, there's no way you can speak two languages. And the dog says, meow. Next on the list, we're going to do donations by chapters, and that's going to be with Jeff, and Ed are going to do that.
No, that's just Ed.
Just Ed.
And if you want to announce your donation for your chapter, come up here to the mic.
Raise
Otherwise,
hand.
Ed will be announcing donations.
They can raise their hand, and I'll come around.
Raise your hand if you have a donation and Ed doesn't know about it. Can I have your attention, please? Like your attention, please. Okay.
Okay, this is Jerry Wilson, the San Diego Silvergate chapter. I have a check here for the scholarship fund for $50. I have a check for the general fund for $50. And I have a check for the crisis fund for $50.
Thank you.
And for those chapters for whom we have received money, the ACB Capital chapter donated $500 to the general fund. The Bayview chapter donated $200 to the general scholarship fund. The Compton chapter donated $100 to the general scholarship fund. Glendale Burbank chapter donated to the general fund $100 and to the general scholarship fund $100. The Golden Gate chapter donated $100 to the general scholarship fund. And the San Francisco chapter $200 to the general fund. And San Gabriel Valley chapter, $200 to the general fund. That's all the donation.
Hey, thank you to all those chapters. We really appreciate your efforts on our behalf. Thank you.
Okay, next we come to a very exciting part of our program. We're going to have the list of scholarship recipients. And Coletta Davis and Jeff Tom are going to do that presentation. Coletta is the chair of the scholarship committee.
This one? Oh. Hello. And then you have to run to the scholarship winners.
No. No, I can do it. Okay, Coletta, we are ready.
Okay. For division, Brendan Hardy from Campbell, California, attending Santa Clara University, Santa Clara, major business. Brendan?
Okay, what we're going to do is I am going to read a little bit of their essays that they've written for you. And then they're going to have a chance to say a few words after each one is introduced. At work as a union carpenter building bridges, I sustained a traumatic brain injury from the impact to my head from a 20-foot fall. I'm quite fortunate to be alive, for my initial Glasgow coma score was E1V1M2, total equals 4. Here's how it works. The range is from 15 being the best, 3 being the worst. A score of 13 or higher, mild brain injury. 9 to 12, moderate. 8 or less is severe brain injury with 50% chance of death. I earned 4. I didn't move home until the 4th of July weekend, 2002, from a head stroke injury, private facility, and started attending De Anza College in September 2002. My first quarter was so intense. My second quarter, I had an eye surgery, week 8 of 12, to reduce my double vision, which was the lower half of my field. The surgery left me unexpectedly with 100% double vision. After 2 weeks, I received glasses with a prism lens attached to correct double vision. I went back to school week 10 and still earned A, B, C, or a 2.9 GPA. You can see the rest in what I have done. Again, we want to salute the inspirational work of Brendan Hardy. Brendan?
Hey, thank you very much. It's really, really been a hard drive. I don't know how I've done it. It's been a real good push. I was almost dead a couple years ago, and now I'm a senior at Sarah. So, all right, sorry about that. All right, so I was saying, I don't know how I did it. It's been really, 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 really tough, and I'm almost burned out. But I'm proud to be here and accepting the scholarship, and I really appreciate it. Thank you very much, everybody.
Thank you, Brendan. Okay.
Next scholarship recipient, entering student, Solis Memorial Scholarship awardee, Amelia Diaz from Anaheim, California, attending California State University at Fullerton, major French and English.
My purpose in undertaking college work is to receive an education that will adequately prepare me for my future. I will make the most of my 4 years at the university of my choice, Cal State Fullerton, by focusing solely on graduating with the degrees I desire. My main goals in college are to streamline my studies strictly to fit the requirements of the school as well as my own aspirations. The subjects which I would like to ascertain degrees are as follows: as a double major in French and English and a minor in music. I plan to become a successful translator, author, gotta turn the page, and singer. Amelia? Let's hold the applause for the end, otherwise, yeah. Amelia?
I guess the first thing I want to say is I want to thank CCB for this wonderful opportunity of accepting the scholarship. I'm really honored to be here tonight, and I'm really grateful for all the money that I'm receiving tonight is going to help me achieve. It is going to be a bit tough doing a double major and a minor, so I think I've kind of streamlined it down to a French major and a music minor. So what I want to do with the money I'm receiving tonight from these very generous people is just further my education and succeed and... in everything I can. So thank you very much for giving me the opportunity of being here tonight.
Thank you.
From Sacramento, California, attending Sacramento City College, adaptive physical education.
Her name is Cristela Garcia. Since the age of 3, when I first received my first cane, I knew I could tackle any obstacle set before me. I knew I was in my inner self. I knew in my inner self, excuse me, but I could travel any intricate path, overcoming any challenge set in my way. Having this notion instilled in me as a youngster truly directed the choices I made, not only about educational matters, but also the kind of training and attitudes I wanted to receive and possess. During my youth, I struggled a great deal with accepting my vision loss and finding a career path that fit me best. I have always been involved with athletics and cared a great deal about physical fitness and body image. I firmly believed that just because I was blind didn't necessarily mean that I had to limit myself on fully participating in various activities, such as cheerleading, track and field events, judo, and goalball. The passion and energy I felt about being a competitive athlete truly shaped my self-esteem and encouraged me down the path of massage and sports therapy. Upon completing high school, I attended a massage training school, which equipped me with enough skills to be able to start my own business, as well as later become employed at several physical therapy clinics and day spas. Similarly, this idea also proved true when I decided to make the journey away from everything familiar to me, including my family and job, and move to Sacramento, California. I felt I would have better access to public transportation and job opportunities, which were not ideal in New Mexico. My surroundings were not suitable for a multifaceted person such as myself. Coupling this realization, I knew I would also have an entire new set of challenges that were set before me. Now I had to learn to maneuver in a city I'd never been in, find a place to live, and find a new job. Not to say any of these tasks were effortless, but once again, my perseverance and tenacious attitude allowed me to sustain all of my goals. Currently, I am employed part-time at the number one day spa in Sacramento and attending school full-time. I hope to earn my master's degree in adaptive physical education and show through examples that blind persons can compete in athletics and be achieved to athletes if they only possess the drive and positive attitudes. Furthermore, I plan to develop and implement recreational programs for blind persons in the Sacramento area. Christella?
Thank you. I'm very honored to be here this evening accepting the scholarship. And I guess I would like to say that as that long reading, I guess the attitude really is important. I was speaking with my 7-year-old nephew this evening, and he had to attend his sister's birthday, which meant he wasn't the center of attention. He's really not that good at it. They say he's a mini-me, but I don't know. Anyway, he was telling me, you know, this is going to be really boring, you know, and I think he was just a little jealous. It wasn't about him. And I was like, well, why is it going to be boring? Because, you know, what could be so boring about a birthday party? He's like, well, there's not going to be any games. And I told him, well, he's like, wouldn't you be bored? And I was like, well, I have to do something different. I'm going to a banquet tonight. He's like, oh, you're going to be more bored than I am. And I said, you know what? I'm actually not, because I believe that I'm not a boring person, so I can never be bored. So I just want to carry on that positive attitude, that energy, and hopefully that I can, my goal and aspiration is to pass on that tenacious attitude and belief in myself and pass it on to others, and hopefully.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
Lower Division Raymond Franke Memorial Scholarship Awardee, Christopher Hermans, attending Los Angeles Valley College, major computer science.
Math and problem solving have always been an important part of my life. I've enjoyed chess, math problems, and learning about computers. I've also learned to cook and play the piano. I memorized Beethoven's Moonlight Sonata and various other classical music pieces. Up until high school, I wasn't sure what I wanted to do. But when a friend recommended I learn computer programming because of my ability in math and problem solving, I quickly became very interested in the area. I then took a programming class at my high school the very next semester. I finished the work of 2 semesters in one and easily passed all my classmates. Now that I'm done with high school, I am continuing to learn more about computer programming at the college level. I plan to get a bachelor's degree in computer science and move on to invent new and useful computer technologies for the future. Christopher?
I'd just like to thank the CCB for this wonderful honor and scholarship that you've awarded.
Thank you very much.
Lower Division Marjorie Hofford Memorial Scholarship Awardee. Now, to pronounce this name, Antoine Nugent from Sacramento, California. Attending Sacramento City College, major law.
Okay. I'm currently attending Sacramento City College. I enjoy the campus a great deal. At this school, I am taking mostly general education classes that are required for a successful transfer to a 4-year college. So far, I have completed my first year at Sacramento City College, and I did pretty well. The courses I completed are psychology, English, physical education, and intermediate algebra. Because of my vision loss and a hearing impairment, I could not take the same amount of courses as some other sighted students could take. These and other later courses will help me to achieve my future vocational plan. I will continue with my general education here for the next few years before transferring to either Sacramento State University or UC Davis. My vocational goal is either medicine or law. As I said previously, I intend to achieve my goals. Tuan, thank you very much.
Oh, hi, this is Tuan. I would like to thank the scholarship committee for giving me the award. And the award will give me the encouragement and support for my future study. And I'm very happy with it. And I will pursue my goal. And I will be successful. And I will make that commitment to continue my study. And something wrong. Oh, I'm sorry.
Thank you, Tuan.
Okay, thank you.
What Tuan didn't say is he left out two things. Number one, Tuan and I are skiing buddies. And number two, Tuan immigrated from Vietnam at the age of 7. And so he has had to deal with a number of obstacles, and he has overcome them all. Thank you, Tuan.
Lower Division Anthony Menino Memorial Scholarship awardee, Rosa Scans, from San Bernardino, California, attending University of Phoenix at San Bernardino, California, major business administration.
Okay, Rosa is not here, but she is certainly an outstanding student. Okay,
next one is lower division entering student, Norma Guerreros, Sacramento, California, attending Sacramento City College, major social work with an emphasis in community services.
I don't have Norma's. Okay.
I talked to her.
There
she is.
It's not
she was
there.
Here.
No speech, sir.
She was here.
Okay. All right. I want to say a few words about Norma. She is already proved to be an outstanding member of our chapter. She attended leadership training this week, and she is filled with enthusiasm, and we are real proud to have Norma Guerrero.
Upper Division.
Wait, let Norma.
I'm sorry. You could have continued. It would have been all right. I want to thank the CCB and everyone involved on the scholarship committee for this scholarship that I received. And some of you may know that I've been pretty vocal during this convention. And I hope to make the CCB proud and continue in my community service work that I've been doing all of my life, now finalizing it to put it on paper and get paid for it, for heaven's sakes. Thank you all so much.
Thank you.
Now we're going to get to Dominic. Upper Division Dominic Dojin from San Francisco, California. Donegan, the Irishman. Attending San Francisco State University, double major, English and Japanese language.
Throughout my life, there have been people and organizations whose primary concerns were to show people like me that being visually impaired does not mean having to settle in any respect. Through their dedication and hard work, these people have changed lives for the better. And by utilizing their services and guidance while maintaining a respectable IPA, as I work toward a tangible goal, I feel I can show them that their efforts were well spent. Attending college gives me the opportunity to show those people how thankful I am for the life I now live as a result of their hard work, as well as show the world how hardworking I can be. As a result of my efforts, I will become yet another example of a legally blind person shattering stereotypes in a world where the details of visual impairment are still largely misunderstood. After college, I will use the knowledge I've acquired to broaden my horizons through travel and the teaching of others. Working in a field one truly enjoys is a lifetime goal, and by remaining focused and continuing to study the things I am most passionate about, I believe I can achieve that goal. Dominic?
Well, hi, everybody. I just want to, first of all, I'd like to thank the organization for this opportunity. A little bit nervous. Wasn't expecting to give a speech, so let me just take a deep breath real quick. All right. I would like to thank them. They're changing lives every day, people like you guys that I didn't even know about the CCB a few years ago. And now that I do, I'm thrilled, and I'm very happy. So I just want to thank everybody involved and everybody in control of the scholarships, and thank everyone for this experience. So I hope you all enjoying yourselves this evening. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Upper Division Lorna Lee from San Mateo, California, attending California State University, East Bay, Hayward, major psychology.
Okay. Yes, let's hear it for Lorna Lee. In December 2000, I had stopped working due to my declining vision. I was at a loss. I was at a loss of what I would do with my life or who could help me. Eventually, I found myself as a client of the Department of Rehabilitation, receiving orientation and mobility training. One day, my trainer and I were walking around my neighborhood. He paused at a bus stop and read off the destinations. I thought to myself, right, I would go by myself. Then he said, and the 250 goes to the College of San Mateo. And though I hadn't yet learned to cross streets or how to take the bus without using vision, I stopped dead and declared, that is what I am going to do. I'm going back to school. That August, I did just that and received my AA 2 years later. I am now at CSU East Bay, completing my bachelor's degree in psychology. I am not stopping there. I hope to continue on to graduate school to obtain my master's degree to work in rehabilitation or academic counseling. I believe that working in these areas will help those who feel as I once did. I am no longer at a loss with what to do, but want to help others achieve success in their academic and career goals. Lana?
Hello, everyone. Hello, everyone. Well, since then, I've learned to cross the street. And I also learned that I'm not alone with the people here at the CCB, both on the scholarship committee and the members. They've taught me that there's support everywhere you look, and we can be support to others, and that's what I hope to do. But thank you very much, and I hope you guys really enjoy the company of others that the CCB has brought together, because we can learn so much from one another and enjoy each other. Okay, thank you.
Thank you, Lana.
Upper Division Solia Nugeras from Santa Ana, California, attending California State University Fullerton, major human services.
Excuse me. I was born in Mexico, and at the age of 2, I was diagnosed with retinitis pigmentosa. I was able to attend a school for the blind, where I learned how to read and write in print due to the partial vision I had. When I was 9, my family and I migrated to the United States seeking a better life. Thanks to the educational system, I've become a productive, independent individual. This has helped me persevere in my dream to attend college despite the many adversities I've had to overcome. For me, education is essential to succeed in life, even though it has been a struggle finding sufficient funds to support my endeavors. I'm currently taking courses to get my BA in human services and hopefully enter into the master's program of counseling. One of my main goals is to work with the VI population by helping them receive the proper information and resources needed to succeed in such a demanding and competitive-sided world. I would also like to work with battered women who often find themselves alone and nowhere to turn to. These are just some of the reasons why I'm asking for your support. Salia?
Well, good evening. It's a pleasure to be here. I would like to first thank CCB for selecting me as one of the scholarship recipients. This is an honor to be here. Dinner was great. Dessert was great. I'm really looking forward to this scholarship, which is definitely going to help me in proceeding or continuing on with my education, which, as was mentioned in my letter, I would like to work with the VI population as well as with women who suffer from domestic violence. And I would just like to say thank you to everyone who's part of the CCB, and I'm also looking forward to learning a little bit more about this wonderful organization. Thank you.
We'll tell you a little secret about her. She's recently married. Upper Division Elizabeth Phillips from Marsh, California, attending Stanford University, major philosophy, major and creative writing, minor.
Mm-hmm. I'm currently a senior at Stanford University, majoring in philosophy, and will be taking a fifth year to write an honors thesis addressing the moral status of children. On coming to Stanford as a freshman, I found myself not only an advocate for children, but an advocate for students with disabilities. I am the co-founder and president of the Community of Stanford Students with Disabilities, a group devoted to providing resources and support to members of our community, as well as to educating others about disability issues and ensuring full inclusion in all aspects of campus life. I have spoken on countless discussion panels and diversity awareness groups about having a disability, providing an open environment in which students with and without disabilities could learn from and better understand each other's world. I feel very strongly that it is important to make a difference in the world around me, not just in what I say and do, but by who I am. Helping others, advocating for those without a voice of their own, and always searching for new ways to learn about the world has become my way of life. After graduating next year with an undergraduate degree in philosophy, I plan to attend graduate school, where I want to study ethics, the nature of moral responsibility, and what links ethics has with issues in personal identity and epistemology. I hope I can use what knowledge I gain, not simply to realize my own dreams, but to improve the lives of others and enable them to pursue their dreams as well. The CCB scholarship will enable me to achieve these career goals, goals that are just as much a part of me as what I do. If I am fortunate enough to have the opportunity to continue to receive one of these. Scholarships. I will use it in funding my education so that I can have the means to finish my major, a minor in creative writing, and my honors thesis. It will enable me to live life to its fullest and provide me with great opportunities to impact the lives of others. Elizabeth?
Okay, now it's working. I just wanted to thank everyone at the California Council of the Blind for providing such a wonderful opportunity for all of us here to scholarships. And you guys are very inspiring to me in both your philosophy of disability that I'm currently learning about as someone who's newly informed about what goes on at the CCB, and what you're able to provide for others, the opportunities that you give others to learn and to be themselves and to find a way in the world. So I just really appreciate all of your hard work and I commend you for it.
Thank you very much, Leslie. Of course, she goes to the right school. What can I say?
Graduate Beth Hessler from Redwood City, California, attending Western Michigan University, major rehabilitation teaching.
All right. I have transferred to the VA's Western Blind Rehabilitation Center after my medical transcription job was outsourced. When the director realized I had previous teaching and counseling experience, she encouraged me to get an MA in rehabilitation teaching so I would be qualified to become one of our blind rehabilitation therapists. I have a lot of contact with blind veterans in my data collection and secretarial work, and I know I would enjoy instructing them in coping with vision loss, sharing my personal experience and what I have learned in the rehabilitation teaching program. And I want to add that she came highly recommended from about the most difficult taskmaster I know, Margie Donovan. Beth?
I really wish Margie had been here tonight because I wanted to thank her so much for turning me on to an organization as fantastic as the CCB. I want to thank each and every one of you for creating an organization that it's been such a pleasure to get to know. I'd like to say special thanks to Coletta Davis, who kept assuring me that I would get a scholarship interview even though I was running off to do the on-campus portion of my education at Western Michigan for 6 weeks. She said, yes, we will indeed interview you. You know, you'll be able to do that. I want to thank Leslie Tom for conducting one of the most delightful interviews in which I've ever been able to participate. I'd like to thank Jeff Tom and Ed Branch, who helped me with the logistics of getting here, information and financial assistance. And I want to thank Ed for helping me join the CCB as a member at large and sending me my first email edition of The Blind Californian, a really terrific magazine. So thank you for the wonderful scholarship.
Oh, wait till Frank Welty gets a hold of you.
No. Okay. Graduate Jeremy Johansson from Davis, California, attending UC Santa Barbara, major mechanical engineering, structural dynamics, and control.
As a child, I dreamed of being an inventor. This dream was not destroyed when I lost my sight at age 10. In spite of a visual impairment, my fascination with the physical world has led me to pursue a career in engineering. I have always been particularly intrigued by how physical systems can be detected and controlled. To this end, for example, I participated in NASA and NSF summer internships in which I investigated sensor fusion techniques for autonomous aerial vehicles. Now, as a PhD candidate in the Department of Mechanical Engineering at the University of California, Santa Barbara, I am excited to study sensory and control systems, systems designed for protection of buildings from earthquake damage. I'm inspired to realize my dream of inventing and advancing sensor technology in ways that benefit not only the blind, but also the sighted. My pursuit of a doctoral degree will provide me with technical training and expertise in engineering necessary for me to further this dream by contributing significantly to advancements in sensory and robotic devices. In addition, I hope to continue my civic involvement and mentor other students like myself in their academic pursuits. Jeremy.
Thank you, Jeff, and thank you, CCB. I am honored to be the recipient of scholarship, and I really thank you for the support that you guys provide me and for the honor of being part of such a dynamic organization as the California Council for the Blind.
Thank you, Jeremy. Jeremy's a cool guy, devoted BSC member, but he's in a world other than mine. He's just way above my head.
Graduate Michelle Mason from San Luis Obispo, California, attending Cal Polytech San Luis Obispo, major philosophy. Psychology. I just wanted to see if you know, everybody was awake.
Since graduating from Concordia University in 1991, I have sought employment in the social services field. My goal is to help individuals and families coping with the loss of a loved one or dealing with disabilities. Currently, I am the chair of the Central Coast Low Vision Council, soon to be an affiliate of the California Council of the Blind, I might add. My aspirations as chair are to serve a wider range of people and augment existing services. Also, I'm discussing implementing a multi-disability peer support group with the Disability Resource Center specialist at Cal Poly. After receiving my MS degree in psychology, I plan to continue my involvement in community organizations in order to educate, advocate, and promote the empowerment of persons with disabilities. Michelle.
Thank you, Jeff. Well, Jeff asked us to keep our speeches to a word or two, so I will try to do my best to honor that. I just want to thank the committee for awarding me a scholarship this year. They also did last year as well, and thank you. This is my second year being at Cal Poly, and as my instructor says, this is when the rubber meets the road. And I'll be applying all my learning skills to actually counseling people this quarter. We have a community clinic, and we counsel individuals and families dealing with just various issues, and I'm looking forward to that. Thank you.
Graduate. Now, this is going to be a really hard name to pronounce. Sabran Tricky, and I'm going to let him pronounce his first name, from Fresno, California, attending CSU Fresno, major MS in computer science.
I think you'll be interested to hear about Mr. Trickich. I've been exposed to the newest techniques of the programming and software development. With the support of my professors, I've been able to overcome many disability-related difficulties, as the field of computer science is very much a vision-oriented field, where many algorithms, graphics, and diagrams have to be understood, memorized, and applied through the programming language. I feel confident in my preparation and motivated to ascend to PhD program, that last educational step of my career. Although only about 70% of blind people ever find a job or achieve any kind of satisfying career during their lifetime, the existing limitations in terms of what a disabled person can perform are rapidly changing due to technological achievements. I, as a programmer, am at the frontier, constantly attempting to push this process even further. If blind and disabled people in general were more represented in our educational system, they would feel less isolated from the society and would be able to bring about change to the sad statistics that exist today. That is why I feel motivated to achieve my educational and personal goals and to encourage others to do the same. Now, I want to add a fact or two here that doesn't come on his essay. He and his wife, whom I met them both today, immigrated here just over 10 years ago from Bosnia during the war that had been going on there. He knew no English. His English is wonderful right now. He does computer programming, when we read about it, that were beyond any of our comprehensions, I think. So let's hear it for Sabahuddin Trickich.
Thank you very much. I don't know that about English. I'm trying very hard. You see, a couple years ago, I had some speech classes, and they told me in order to have a good speech, you have to have eye contact. And I will try my best. Regarding my name is Sabahuddin Trickich. And I would like, first of all, to thank God Almighty for everything that He did for me in the last couple of years and all my life. And then I would like to thank CCIB for giving me opportunity to be here with this great organization to participate in this great event here. One more time, keep up the good work, and thank you very much for everything.
Thank you very, very much. And the Greater San Joaquin chapter, better look out. They got a real live one coming up for for their membership.
Graduate Kurt T. Western from Huntington Beach, California, attending CSU Fullerton, major Master of Fine Arts, Creative Photography.
As a legally blind photographer, I have overcome the barriers, obstacles, and challenges of producing and exhibiting my photographs. Despite my visual loss, I am able to photograph using traditional photographic techniques. Over the past few years, my photographs have been featured in exhibitions in Los Angeles, New York, Philadelphia, San Francisco, and Orange County. I have won numerous awards and have been featured in articles by major newspapers. I recently sold my work to the prestigious Houston Museum of Fine Art. My photographic work forms a new context in which to view blindness and the visual arts. I am passionate about my art and advocacy as I continually advocate for the full inclusion and access to the arts for artists who are blind and disabled. Recently, I was accepted into the highly competitive MFA program at Cal State University Fullerton. My acceptance into the graduate program provides me with opportunities to obtain the graduate level education necessary to become an educator. As an educator, I can share my extensive technical knowledge and work experience with serious students of photography and art. I am anxious to utilize a lifetime of experience and education to be self-sufficient and self-supporting. Kurt?
Thank you. Thank you, CC. Tonight I had the opportunity to meet a lot of old friends and some amazing new people. And I also wanted to let everybody know that I just recently curated a show at the Southern California College of Optometry, which got a front page article in the Orange County Register. It featured the work of blind and legally blind artists, and it was an amazing success. It provided opportunities for the artists, accessibility to low vision and blind people to the arts, and education to the public about visual impairment and loss. It is a great opportunity for artists, which is what I'm trying to promote. And just as the CCB is provided access for me to this amazing opportunity for continued education and the opportunity to become successful, I appreciate what the CCB has done. And I also wanted to extend an invitation to any of you who are artists or know of artists, blind artists, to let me know about them, because I would like to also help provide opportunities to them as well. Thank you.
Thank you very, very much. I believe that is the last of our scholarship recipients that are here tonight. I tell you, that's only about half of them. But isn't this an amazing, amazing group of people?
Jeff, okay, these are the students who could not be here this evening because of other commitments. Raymond Cole, Skylark Kovich, James Robert Forbes, Mark Morgan, Patrick Wilkins, Gary Mulliken, Brandon Sharon, Carrie Stamps, Stephanie Evert, Christina Alvarado, Angela Palmer, Alberti Vesquez, Patrick Coffey, Masafet Musvin. These are the people that could not be here tonight. And I'd like to extend a great thank you to my hardworking committee. We work very, very hard, and they're just wonderful people. Josie McKinney, Vincent Calderon, Jerry Arakawa, Abby Vincent, Dr. Martin Jones, Pat LaFrance-Wolf, Donna Pomerantz, and of course to our office staff, Ed Brench and Marilyn Kohler, and our president, Jeff Tom.
You know, I made this mistake, Coletta, as well, so you're not the first one, but you skipped one of your committee members who's sitting next to me. So Leslie Tom is also on the committee.
Am I going to get it? Sorry, Leslie.
Next, we have the honor of introducing our surprise keynote speaker. And since I didn't know this at the time, I didn't even have time to look up an appropriate joke for her. Maybe she's just as happy. I want to introduce to you someone that you all know very well, and we all appreciate her much. She's done a lot of great things through her history with the California Council of the Blind. And her guest sitting at the table next to her, I didn't dare introduce him earlier, otherwise you would have known immediately who your surprise speaker was, and that happens to be Eric Skivers. And, of course, our special speaker for this evening, we want to give a great round of thanks to Catherine Skivers.
Do you like surprises? I like them too, but I'll tell you, there are surprises and surprises. And when somebody tells you at 4:30 afternoon they'd like a lot if you'd be the banquet figure, boy, that's a surprise. I think we've been here and done this before. I forgot to tip off artists that maybe we ought to barricade the door before I start in case any of you try to escape. So we'll make this not too long, and hopefully we'll have some fun with it. Before I begin to talk about something I love very much, California Council of Blind and its history, I'm going to do something a little different. I often do. Jeff knows that. You know, we have somebody that is 6 years old, and he came to work for us on September 9th. 6 years ago, Ed Brench is 6 years old, and I think we ought to all congratulate him on his anniversary. Marilyn's been here a little shorter time. I was going to say she's a little younger, but I don't know if they just take exception to that or not. But anyway, she also is a great help to us all, and we want to thank her, too. About when we were 65, almost 6 years ago, we formed a history committee, and we said that we were going to do the history of the California Council of the Blind. Well, here we are working on 70 to 71, and we're still working on the history. What happened there is, somehow or another, I got to be president for a while, and it was kind of hard to be president and get the history together. California Council of Blind was founded in 1934 by a man that I'm sure you all know was Newell Perry. Dr. Perry lost his sight at the age of 8 when he had poison oak, and he went into a coma for 30 days, and when he woke up, he was blind. Very soon lost his parents. In those days, and this was back in the 1800s, they really didn't know much about what they could do with blind people, so his dad said, well, Newell, I guess we could get you a violin and you could learn to play the violin and perhaps you could earn your money in that way and make a living. Well, by the time he was 10, his father had passed away and he said he didn't want a violin and he knew he wasn't going to play on the corner. So he went off to school and someone adopted him, and was very good to him and helped him all through school. And he went to the school for the blind. He decided that he wanted to learn and then become educated, and he went to quite a long time. He went to Germany, and I believe was one of the first people ever to get a degree in mathematics. And he traveled in Europe and came back to New York, and for 10 years he couldn't find a job. He sent out 500 invitations saying he'd like to teach school. Two of them wrote back. Out of the 500, three wrote back. Two said to him something like, well, how do you think a blind person, we just don't have a place for you right now. You know the old story we will still get. There's no position here. They're all filled up, you know. The third one wrote, though, and he said he appreciated the letter, and he wondered why in the world a blind man ever thought he could teach and why he didn't think of some other endeavor. And that made Newell Perry awfully mad. Just happened about that time, the School for the Blind had an opening for a director of advanced studies. And out went Newell to the School for the Blind, where he stayed for many, many years. In those days, we had residential schools for the blind, where many of us grew up and lived. That was the 18th century. I wasn't quite here yet. Anyway, for many years, we all went to these schools, and you lived away from home, and you went to school, or if you were a day student, you'd go and go home at night, and you were with other blind people, and there are pros and cons on the school system like that. I happen to think it's wonderful, because I grew up in the Missouri School for the Blind, and I think it's there's something to be gained from being with other blind kids and being among your peers. You got to make your own way. Nobody makes any excuses. You got to do it or else. And boy, in the school I went to, you didn't want or else, so you hurried up and learned it. We then had, in those days, people would learn. Newell Perry brought up a lot of people. We called them his boys. Of course, the girls were there too. But boy, there was no question about it. When I first came out here in 1949, Mr. Perry, Dr. Perry, he was all for his boys. He thought girls were kind of cute, but it was his boys that he was busy working with. He learned, taught them. You went to school in California, you got history, arithmetic, geography, and legislation. You found out, he knew, that if we were ever going to get any place in this world, that we were going to have to do it for ourselves. People talk about blindness, they think they know about blindness, but I'm telling you, until you're with it, you don't really know blindness. And he knew it, and he thought that we were a success. He said, you know, blind people are really remarkable. Think about it. You walk down the street, there's trees out there, and there's dogs and cats. And he said, God, the roller skates in the middle of the block. But he, when I first knew of him, I was at the Missouri school, and I was a little girl, and there was a magazine called The Searchlight. And it had short stories in it. And I wasn't supposed to read them yet because I wasn't old enough yet. So I read them every chance I got. And in the back of the book, there was a legislative thing by a man named Newell Perry. And I began to read it when I was so young that I didn't always quite understand it. But I knew he was trying to do something to help blind people. I never envisioned in those days that I'd ever come to California. And I did, and I met him, and it was a wonderful day in my life when I did. And he thought that you really need to go to college. To Newell Perry, if you were going to be successful, you had to go to college. That's just the way it was. Of course, I didn't have time to go to college because I came out here, and things went very bad for me on a personal level. We'll save that when I write my book, if I live long enough. When I do it and you read it, nobody's going to believe it. I don't believe it myself. But anyway, when I came out and met him, he said to me, I didn't have a job, and I was scared to death. I didn't have anything. I could tell you one thing. If you don't find a job and you're in a state, and when I came here, you had to be here 5 years out of at least 5 years before you could get any kind of assistance, like what we call blind aid then, or maybe rehabilitation services, but rehab kind of, Alan Jenkins, I went into his office and I said, I need a job. And he said, what can you do? I said, I'll be easy to train. I don't know how to do anything. So if any blind person has ever done it, I'll do it. And he said, do you think you could work a switchboard? And I said, I don't know. I've never seen one. But I did get a job, and my first job was then... there was a center for people where they worked and where they also lived, and I'll get to that in a little bit. Anyhow, back to the school again. When I met Dr. Perry, he said, don't you be afraid, you'll find a job. And Alan Jenkins was my rehab counselor, and he said to me, what university have you attended? And that's the way he talked. And I bet you Al Gill remembers that, and Nalmer. Anyway, I said, Doctor, I've just finished coming through the University of Hard Knocks, and I graduated at the top of my class. So he turned around and said to Alan, one of his boys, you find this girl a job and do it quickly. And I got my job, and I began to come to the California Council of the Blind. And my first meeting, and when I first met Doctor, and not only at the conventions, but at home, at the local chapter, I went to this meeting, and here's this wonderful man I'd heard about all my life, and he sat up there, and he began to read off bill numbers, SB something or another, and AB something or another, and he would say the number, and his group there, all these adults would sit there, his boys and the girls, and they would repeat that number, and I thought, what kind of a thing is this? Why do these people do this? They read these numbers, and they say these numbers, and then he would kind of give them, you had to kind of recite what it was about. He'd tell you, then he'd ask you, boy, you better know what it was. And that's the way they were taught. Legislation was what we did. That's what the council was. Well, I went off to, I think it was maybe my second council meeting, and we were called the California Council for the Blind. And unlike today, where we have all the chapters, you know, where you're all from, we had agencies all came. The library had a representative, rehab had a representative, and on, social services had a representative, and we were called the California Council for the Blind. Well, you know, by the time I came from Missouri and got in there, I knew a lot, and I thought, boy, this is not for the blind, this is of the blind. And I decided, you know, we were allowed to make motions, and I made a motion that we change the name from the California Council for the Blind to of the Blind. Well, I was sure it would go over just like, you know what, when you're brand new, you sometimes don't know what you don't know. And I went in there, and by gosh, it lost by a landslide. And I was so mad. Oh, I was furious. And I went out, and here came Doctor along. And he said, I want to talk to you a minute. He said, now, I said, it's okay. I said, we're going to be for the blind. Nobody cares. And he said, you lost the fight because you lost your temper. I said, I did not lose my temper. I said, I lost the fight because you told your boys not to do it. And he said, and you know, nobody ever talked to a doctor, I don't believe, like that. And I didn't know how lucky I was, you know. But anyway, he said, try it again next year. Well, okay. I tried it next year. I moved that we change the name of the council to the California Council of the Blind. And it passed by a landslide. And doctor said to me, now you see, Catherine, you held your temper and it went through. I said, it did not. I said, it went through because you said it was okay. But we got along, and I had a great deal of respect for that man and the people he brought up. And we went along for many years, and things went along very well. But as time went by, doctor had some plans. He looked on the kids that he brought up through the school and saw them through college. And when they couldn't find a job or couldn't find a place to live, he and his wife Lily took them in. And a lot of people spent a lot of time living at his house because that was the only way they could make it. And when he went in there and did this for the kids, he sort of envisioned what they'd be. He knew we'd have to have a successor someday. Although he worked quite well into his 80s, he wanted Bob Campbell, who was a very, very good student and a wonderful, remarkable person. He wanted him to become president of the council when he retired. And he wanted Jacobus Tenbrook, that we all knew as Chick, to be the National Federation president because Chick Tenbrook was a constitutional lawyer and a doggone good one and an excellent speaker and a professor at the school in Berkeley, university, teaching of English, I believe. And that's the way he wanted it. Well, as we got into the late 50s and things were coming about where changes were going to be made, it was decided by Dr. Tenbrook that he'd like to be the president of the council and NFB as well, and Doctor didn't want that. And then there just developed a little bit of a power struggle, and everybody kind of had different visions of what should happen and versions of what was going to happen, and so there developed a rift in the council. And once again, I wrote a thing called The California Story, which outlined what differences we saw. And some of us withdrew from the council. And in the bulletin that came out, it said, a few disgruntled people left. Well, yeah, a whole bunch of people left. And it was like Bob Campbell and George Fogarty and Juliet Esterly and myself and many, many others. But you know what, people? Guess who went with us? Dr. Newell Perry. So that was a bad time. You talk about the Civil War. It was a sad, sorry thing. Good friends didn't speak to each other. They went to different camps, or all kinds of crazy things happened. Everybody said bad about everybody, even if they had to make it up. And anyway, it was not a good time. So when we were in the midst of this breakup, and we were in a room with Dr. Perry, and it was one of my hardest times to think about. Doctor was in tears. The boys that he raised were in there, and they were arguing, and they weren't being nice about it either. If I could have done it, I'd have walked around and cracked them one individually. I was so mad. But Doctor was standing there, and that hurt me so. And he said to me, those are my boys in there. I said, I know. I said, but you know how boys fight sometimes. It'll be all right. And I didn't believe it for a minute, and I don't think he did either. But anyway, he said to me, Kathy, I want you to promise me something. He said, if ever we can get the group together, if they can come together again, he said, promise me you'll do what you can to make the council what it is today and what I think it won't be for a while. And so when people ask me, why in the world do you do so much of this, and why are you never say no, and why don't you do something else? I say to them, I made a promise to Dr. Perry. And so when I get to the other side or wherever it is you go from here and I see him, I hope he'll say you did all right, Kathy. If I didn't, I'll sure hear it. We've had some interesting things happen to us. Perry Sunquist was a very famous leader in the council. He was the chief of the Department of Social Services, a partially blind guy, partially seeing, we have to say nowadays. And he was there for many, many years. Then he and Pat Urena wrote a 50-year history of the California Council of the Blind. We're going to read that very soon onto tape. At first, when we looked at the committee, looked at it, we thought we would just redo the whole thing. But I think that was written by people, and it reflects what the people thought of those for 50 years, and I think it needs to be there. And that's what we're going to do. We'll tape that, and I'm going to plan to send it to the committee. They can review it, and we'll make some additions in the rest of the thing. We have a wonderful committee. Every time I name people, I leave somebody out. But they'll correct me, I think. Al Gill is on the committee. We have combined the history and the awards committee. That's why I'm having a time with it. Roger Peterson's on it, Chris Gray, Gussie Morgan, Joe Smith, and we recently have got Don Queen. And guess what? Don, when we started working on the history, we found that between earthquakes and one thing and another, we lost a lot of our information. But God bless Don Queen. He's got all kinds of tapes that he's kept forever. We have had people write through the years. Maria Lopez has written a nice section for John Lopez. We have a lot of things that Juliet Esterly, we have some good material on, and George Fogarty recorded for us 8 tapes of his memories and gave us several papers and pages that we have that will be invaluable to us when we get putting it together. When George saw the 50-year history, he said to me, "Kathy, that history lacks personality." Those of you who know George, I think, can just about hear that. And he said, "And when you redo it, my dear, please put some humor into the thing. Nobody will be able to stay awake." So we'll try to do that. You know, I'm a little bit formal, so I don't know, but we'll try to do that. Anyway, we got together again. We unified, but through the years, we've done some wonderful things. We have today, by the way, Happy White Cane Day. This is October 15th. We had a lot to do with getting bills through for the right to organize. We found out about getting assistance to blind people a year before Social Security started. I think they started in 36 and we started in 35. Can you believe that the blind here were given blind aid, which is now called SSI, $35 a month if you met all the criteria? Later, we really did it up. We got it up to $50. And I tell you, it wasn't easy, and it took a lot of argument. We've gotten a lot of other fine legislation through the years. We gave people the right to vote, the right to take anybody into the booth with them when they went. In those days, we were just taking someone with you. You used to have to sit in there and let the people that were handling the poll vote. And I don't know about you, but I never trusted them. Yeah. I never liked it, so I was very happy to find the good old ballot I could take home and pick out my relatives. I knew I could trust the ones I picked. If I hadn't, I wouldn't have picked those ones. Anyway, we got that, and one time when we divided into 2 organizations, we went up there and we still worked on legislation, each group. And so some group, in my group, they wanted a fishing license free for blind people. And I thought, okay. And we introduced the bill, and by gosh, everybody liked the bill. But then, in those days, I was doing the testifying for what was the Associated Blind of California, which is what we called ourselves when we left the council. And my gosh, this man said, "Why would you want a fishing license? Why would blind people want a fishing license?" And I, you know what, I hadn't thought about it. And I sat there, and we were having a real struggle trying to get a raise our blind aid right then. And I said, "Well, you know what?" I said, "Some of them probably will want it for a hobby, but there are others who, with a small amount of assistance they get nowadays, will probably go out and fish for some of their meals." That went through just fine. Way back when, we started advocating for specialized services. We wanted a special division for the blind or a commission. We wanted it way back, and we tried and we couldn't get it. We were strong enough. We might be a small group, we were then, but let me tell you what, there were 2 initiatives put on this on the state ballot, constitution amendments, and we got them through. And we didn't have to go out of the state to raise $81 million to do it either. We had our share of losses. There used to be a thing in the state called California Industries for the Blind. At first, it was the Training Center for the Adult Blind. That's where I had my first job as a switchboard operator. And people would live there and worked, and they made brooms and mops and all manner of things, and they had a room there, and they could come and go as they pleased, and it was a very good place for them. I was new in the state, and I had my one and only guide dog I ever had, and I used to take her for a walk every day between 12 and 1 because she was just lying in the office for 8 hours. That didn't seem right to me. So she and I would take a walk every day. Well, one day I was coming down the street, and I was coming back to the work, and this lady said to me, "Young lady, where are you trying to go? Are you going to the asylum for the blind on the corner there?" I tell you, I never had heard that in my lifetime. And I said, "No, ma'am, I'm going to work. I have a job." "You do? what do you do? I said, I work on the switchboard. I'm a switchboard operator. She said, oh my, I don't see how you could possibly do that. And I thought, I don't know how I possibly do it either, but I do it. So I remember what Mom said always about don't count to 10 and don't swear at people, and I went on to work. There are some, if you can't see the humor in what happens to you when you're blind, and if you can't see the need for why we all have to stick together, then you got some problems. You know, whether we like it or not, every one of us is an ambassador for the blind. If they see somebody that's all disheveled and messed up, then that's what blind people are. If you're sharp and bright, then that's what you are. And you know what the old movie said, if one blind guy plays the piano, we all play the piano. But really and truly, there's so much that I'd like to tell you, and there'll be in the history, and you'll be hearing about it, but I want to urge you all, and I really mean this, you need each and every one of you to find out who in your city is your legislator to the California Council, to the California Legislature. And you need to find out who your representative is in Washington, D.C. Write them a letter, give them a call. If you get a chance, drop by and meet the people in their office. It really helps. And we need that. We've lost. In 1969, we had two Braille volumes that were dedicated to laws that were passed for the visually the blind people in California. And you know what? The first volume was all about social services. Now we have almost none. And the other one was about rehab. And we haven't found the second volume. If anybody has a second volume of that book, I'd like to have it. But it just tells me how much we lost. We lost those industries, for example, I told you about. California Street employed 600 people under the Wagner-O'Day Act. 75%, by the law, had to be blind. The other 25 had to be having handicaps of other kinds. And we did what we could, but we lost them. For the first time since we had split, Tony Menino from the California Council and I, as president of the other organization, came together and we battled together to try to save those industries, and we couldn't. For the simple reason that under the administration of Ronald Reagan, they put them into private industry, they couldn't make it without a subsidy, and you know what? Those 600 people, most of them never found other jobs because there weren't any. We need to get behind the agencies here that are here, make sure that we help them do the job. If they're going to help us, then we need to help them do it. And I want to tell you that one of the things that I've been allowed to do is be one of your representatives to the Blind Advisory Committee of the Department of Rehabilitation. Serving on that committee from this organization are Charles Navarrete and Rhonda King. Kind of shocks me to say I've been around this sort of thing for over 50 years, but you know what? In all that time, I've seen directors come and go of the Department of Rehabilitation, and I've never seen a better one or enjoyed more working than that with Catherine Campisi. When we had 105, SB 105, she was limited because she had, you know, she was the director of the department. But let me tell you, she sure came and helped us a lot, and she moved a lot of stumbling blocks for us that we would have had much more trouble moving had she not been the person she is. And we really appreciate that. And I'm not saying that just because she comes from St. Louis and I come from St. Louis, or because both of our names are Catherine, or because both of our mother's names, for heaven's sake, were Lucille, or even because we kind of enjoy one of the same commitments or participation with one of the Arthur brothers, but, you know, arthritis. Yeah, I know, but I had to do a little bit for Al Gill there. Anyway, I'm going to wind up here pretty soon because I know that you'd much rather be in the hospitality room or someplace else.
Probably.
But I want to tell you another thing. I bet that none of you sitting here is unable to think of a person in this organization that you think really does a good job and that they do something really well. And I'm, of course, now talking to you about the other half of the History Committee, which is the Awards Committee. We're going to put in the Californian again what they are, but we really would appreciate it if you think you know somebody that needs to go in the Hall of Fame, then write us a little letter about it. If you think someone's deserving of another honor, do send it to us. We'd like to have it by February 15th. And I think, go without saying that we just lost a member of our Hall of Fame. You get two dates when you go in the Hall of Fame. Your birthday goes in there. And then, of course, when you leave us, then that date goes in there. And, of course, we were all sad to put John T. Francesco's birth date on there now. But John was a wonderful, wonderful man. He taught at the School for the Blind. And he was a music teacher. And when they moved the School for the Blind from Berkeley to Fremont, he walked the streets of Berkeley and just really fought to keep that school in Berkeley, but they moved it. But he was an opera singer and a teacher and a wonderful musician. If you ever heard him sing Figaro, you'd never forget it. And even if you didn't like it, you heard him sing it, you'd like it. But anyway, there are so many things that I'd like to tell you about. And if I had known a little sooner that I was going to tell you anything, I probably would have done better, maybe. But I hope that you will all make a commitment to yourself to build this organization. You know, we have a camaraderie here that not a lot of affiliates have. I've been to a lot of them. They don't have it, some of them. We care about each other. And as long as we care about each other and care about what happens to blind people and give them the same break. I've stayed with it because the council helped get me a break. Rehab got me some jobs, and I always promised myself when I didn't have a job and didn't have any food for about 6 months that if I ever ate regularly again or at all there a time or two, that I'd do what I could to make sure that other blind people never had happened to them what happened to me. And I think we all feel that way in this group. We care what happens to each other, and if we do that, not only are we the best and the biggest, but you know what? There's nobody can even touch us. And I know that's going to go on from now on. And you know why? Because you're a great bunch and you'll do it. And so I think I'll finish up by saying an old country song that goes, if I had it to do all over again, I'd do it with you. Thank you very much.
Well, thank you, Kathy. That was a great job of ad lib. That was wonderful.
Artists, could I do one more thing?
Sure.
I always do this. I meant to start out saying that I couldn't even have been here. Daryl can't be here, and he's so sorry he can't because he wants to be. But my son, Eric, has been here with me, and Eric has had a serious, serious back injury. And so getting this wheelchair and me everywhere is hard. And he's been here, and he's been helping in different groups that we've been to. And I just want him to know how much I appreciate him.
Thank you again. Well, Jeff forgot something.
Okay, I did. And I'm gonna be quick, but I really would be remiss if I didn't. We received a letter from one scholarship winner, and this is a really unusual, but I think James Robert Forbes, who is a student at College of the Redwoods, and I figure if someone took the time to do this, I think it's worth reading. Dear CC members and convention goers, I am sorry that I could not attend the convention, but family and school are commanding more time than I have already. Anyone here who has taken accounting will understand. I would like to thank the California Council of the Blind for the scholarship that they have awarded me this semester. It is definitely challenging to be a full-time student at age 39 and have a family of four. My wife has a part-time job and a double-time job at home. This scholarship will help my family immensely while I prepare myself for a new challenge of our life together. I've only been blind for 3.5 years, and I'm in my fifth semester of college. The MBA program at Humboldt State University is my goal, and I'm very confident that I will attain this goal. Excuse me. I do hope to attend the spring convention in Northern California in 2006. I hope to talk with all of you then. Again, a huge thank you to the CCB. Sincerely, James Forbes, Eureka, California.
Well, we're coming to the final items of the evening. We're going to get the list of the winners of the silent auction, and then we're going to have the CCB raffle drawing. And then if there's anyone else that had a drawing or a raffle, please let us know up here so we can take care of that as well. Peter's looking for a mic. He's got one. Just turn it
on. I'd like to thank everyone who participated in the silent auction. We had some wonderful prizes. I'd like to thank the people that either donated the prizes or arranged for the donation of the prizes. Through this auction, we raised $547. For the California Council of the Blind. And this is just the first silent auction. In the springtime, we'll have a bigger and better silent auction. So you'll be hearing more about that shortly. Leslie, do you want to go ahead and read the winners? And basically, we'll accept any form of payment, cash, credit card, or checks, and your items can be claimed
tonight
at the front of the room. At the end of the evening, after the we do the CCB raffle. Okay. Want to go ahead, Leslie?
Okay. All right. The first item that we have is a Native American necklace by the Miwok tribes. And do you want to give you the volume too? No. And the high bid and the person that got that bid, who made that bid, is Artis Bazin, $40. Okay, and then we have a handcrafted Pocote wood bowl. It's from Mexico. And that goes to Peter Pardini at $40. Okay, and next we have the it's a lady's knit shell, and I have that for $10. Yep. Okay, and then there's a second one that I also bid on and got that for $5. Okay.
You can hold your applause till the end, then we'll get done a little quicker.
Okay. Next, we have a baby knitted baby dress, and that goes to Eric Skivers, $35. All right. I know he was waiting for that too. It's a model. Okay. We have a knit baby blanket, hat, and mitten set, And that goes to Donna Sanchez, $45. Okay. Now we have a Sony TV Weather AM/FM radio, and that is David Edick at $80. Okay, next we have a ceramic pig cookie jar. Very nice item, actually. And that's Mary Beth Randall, $50. Huh? Yeah. Okay, the next one is the Statue of Liberty, and I was waiting and waiting until 4 o'clock so I could put the last bid on it. So it's $145 for the Statue of Liberty for myself. Had to have it. I know, it's real cool. Okay, now we have two knitted lap rugs. One of them is turquoise, and that is from, that it goes to Pam Metz, $40. Okay, the second one goes to Artis Bazin for $25. Okay, we had four sets of hat and scarf knitted sets, and the first one is to Sheila Rankin, as is the second set, both $6 each. The third one is Cindy Bridget at $5. And
copy your prize.
And then the final one here is Kathy Skivers got a set for $15. And thank you everybody for you know coming and checking on bids and doing the bidding. It was quite interesting.
Thank you to Marvelina and Rhonda for working so hard.
Oh, yeah, and thank you for Marvelina and Rhonda, and Peter. Yeah, and Peter for working so hard at manning the table.
Okay. Artist raffle time.
Okay, next is the CCB raffle. And Peter, you got to call my name.
And then we'll do San Diego Silvergate's raffle after that. No? This had to be our biggest raffle ever, by the way. This ticket sales were brisk. The third prize is a personalized checkbook, correct? That will be made by Abby Schumann. Is that correct?
And the winner is Sandy Davis.
Do we know where she is?
Sandy Davis. Sandra Davis from Upland.
Well, wait. Sandra Davis from Upland, California is our winner.
Sandra Davis from Upland, California.
And we will contact Sandy. Second prize, $500. It's got my name written all over it. I just know it. Oh, yeah, true.
Jonathan,
Donna. His telephone number is 909-597-8689.
Yeah, call him right now.
Jonathan Verona.
Well, he won $500, wherever he is, so.
The grand prize, the cruise donated by Carnival Cruise Lines. Glenda Caligari, Carson, California.
Well, we kept it close. It's close to Long Beach, anyway. Those are the winners.
Okay, next we're going to have the San Diego raffle.
Hello? Can I have your attention, please? This is San Diego Silvergate drawing. Raffle, this is for the $25 gift certificate from Speak to Me. Lucky number is 897006. Last three numbers, 006. It's a great ticket. Who's is over here? Okay, hang on. I think we got a winner. Lucky winner is Alva Brandon.
Where do they claim their prize?
Go to the San Diego Silvergate table, which is down at the end of the room down there, to claim your prize. Down at the far end of the room in the middle table. Okay, now, we have a second drawing. This is for a check for $25. Boy, sure got quiet in here. Did y'all notice that? You mentioned money, it gets quiet in this room for some reason. I said, boy, it got quiet in here. You mentioned money and people shut up. Okay, for the $25 check, the number is 785.
Right here!
who's right here? What's your name?
Bill Gillespie.
Oh, Bill Gillespie. All right. No, the last three numbers. Last three numbers, yeah. Come down to our table, or send somebody down to our table. It's the middle table at the far end of the room, and we'll give you your check. For an extra $5. I'm teasing.
Okay, well, I'd like to thank you all for attending the banquet, and thank you for allowing me to be the mistress of ceremonies this evening, and have a nice evening.
One quick reminder for those of you going to LAX, might want to make your, if you're going to use Super Shuttle tomorrow, remember to, might want to make a reservation, even this evening, just to have it confirmed, so...